This afternoon's scripture reading will be taken from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 5. And it reads, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purge our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
Good evening. Good evening. That kind of night today, huh? All right. It's good to see you. Glad you're here. Hope you had a wonderful afternoon. It's great to see you. Hebrews chapter 1, you have your Bibles. Let's begin there. The challenge that Jamie mentioned this morning is available at the Information Center. If you'd like to grab yours, you can get that and sign up there, and we look forward to that. Might add, if you are thinking about doing that, what are some creative ways we might be able to make that easier for each other? Maybe we could read in groups. Maybe we could read at a particular time. I even had the thought of a Facebook Live read. Maybe we could do something like that. We could read it before classes. We could read it early here at the building. Any number of ways we might be able to make that happen. Read it in small groups. Read it with your family. We could make it work. So let's figure out some ways to make that happen, and we'll certainly do it. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. God, who in sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Largely what that verse says and means is God has spoken in a variety of ways, in many varied ways, to humanity. An atheist, I watched a movie. I believe the movie was called Expelled. I believe that was the title. And at some point in this movie, there was an interview had between the host and an atheist. I don't want to call the person's name because I'm not exactly sure I remember who the atheist was. I think it was the English gentleman, but I can't remember his name exactly. So I'll not say that and be wrong. And this is not a word-for-word quote, but it's very close. He was asked, what if you get to the end and you wake up, open your eyes, and God asks you, why didn't you believe in me? And the man did not blink, he did not pause, he did not hesitate. His answer was very clear. He said something to this effect. I will look him right in the face, and I will say to him, why did you make it so hard to find you? Tonight, I'd like to talk to you about that very concept and what this verse and these verses say. God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets. What these verses teach is that God has spoken. Has God made it difficult to find him? That is what he said he would say to God. You decide this evening. The text says God has spoken in the past. The text says, secondly, God has spoken in many varied ways. Thirdly, the text says God has spoken by his Son. Tonight, I'd like to share with you some of the ways, some of the varied ways in which God has spoken. The first begins in the beginning of our Bible. God has spoken in creation. The psalmist, in describing creation and God's speech to humanity, says the following: "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from one end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." If we were to begin to dissect this section of scripture, some of the things that stand out are these. With regards to God speaking in creation, the psalmist asserts that God's speech actually occurs day and night. In fact, since the creation, since God made it, it's been speaking. It's been speaking every day. It's been speaking every night. He further says that every people and language hear it. There in the middle, it says, "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Thirdly, he says, this occurs all over the world. Go back to the first point. Every day, every night, every speech, every language, all over the world. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In Acts chapter 17 and verse number 24, the Apostle Paul alleges much the same thing as he spoke to people who didn't believe in God, who didn't know God. Paul began with creation. Acts 17, 24, Paul says, "God that made the world and all things that are therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." Here in both places, the assertion is clear. God has spoken. In fact, there is no way to miss the message. The problem is not understanding God's message. The problem is we simply don't agree with it. When it comes to our origins and how we got here, we instead say it was an accidental explosion. Did we hear God's speech? Yes, the Son is present. Their line is throughout the whole earth as the bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Everybody can wake up and see the Son. That's not the problem, that we didn't get the message. The problem is we don't agree with it. We say it was an accident. The universe came from nothing. I heard one person suggest maybe aliens made it. They were before us. They came here. They planted some things and then they left. And what has happened is the result of alien activity. Or maybe it's just happened. Non-life gave rise to life. Non-intelligence gave rise to intelligence. From nothing came everything that is. His assertion is God has made it so hard. Well, the scripture would say, no, God has spoken. The creation speaks. God has spoken through his blessings. Acts chapter 14, again, Paul and Barnabas standing before individuals who did not believe, they did not know God. These same individuals saw a miracle, and what they wanted to do was actually worship Paul and Barnabas as being gods. Paul responded to that occasion with these words, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God. First creation, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways, nevertheless, he had not left himself without witness in that he did good gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness, and with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. The Apostle Paul says the blessings, the providential care of God for the world, the things we enjoy, food and rain and fruitful seasons, they come from God. He's not left himself without witness. He spoke to us. He shared himself. James would say it this way. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17. Or maybe our Lord in Matthew 5:43-45, where our Lord says that God allows the rain and the sun to fall and to bless even those who do not love him. It's not that God has made it difficult. It's not that God hasn't spoken. But rather than give God the glory for the blessings, we say something like this. It's Mother Nature. It's just fate. Or, I did it my way. I'm the reason that I am what I am. I'm the reason I have what I have. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm the result of the good that's in my life. Scripture says, no, God is speaking through his blessings. And we say, no, it's just Mother Nature. It's fate. It's us. God spoke to the fathers in varied ways, the Bible says. God spoke in creation. God spoke in his blessings. But God spoke when he made us. You see a human being, you ought to think the glory of God in that person's existence. The psalmist says these words, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Why would we do that? Why would we make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands? Why would we serve the Lord with gladness? Why would we come before his presence with singing? He explains, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. Why would we praise him? Why would we serve him? Why would we come before his presence? Because he made us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth unto all generations. What a powerful message from God, humanity. Genesis 1:26-27 would say, God created us in his own image. The psalmist would say in Psalm 8, beginning in verse 3, when I consider the heavens, the works of thy hands, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? And then the psalmist says this, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep, oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Acts 17:29, in that great sermon, the Apostle Paul would say that we are his offspring. Proverbs 20:12, the seeing eye, the hearing ear, the Lord has made it all. David in Psalm 139, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, knit together, fashioned by the hand of God. See, human beings, that ought to be a clarion call. That ought to be an alarm sounding that God has spoken. But instead of heed that message, we say, nah, we actually evolved from animals. In fact, we are animals. Never mind the fact that God would say, crowned with glory and honor, made a little lower than angels, and set over the animals, we would say, no, as it turns out, we're just matter in motion. We have no soul, no purpose, no meaning, no morals, no hope. We say things like, there's not enough design in the world. Not of enough to determine and demand a God. And then we discover the code of DNA. I heard somebody say, how can there be a code without a code writer? Dave, does that work in computers? Just doesn't work in computers. You know, we find design in watches. You know that Apple Watch, as it turned out, that new one, it just happened. Turns out there were no designers. Turns out there was no intelligence behind that. It just happened. Computers, no intelligence behind that. There's no design. It happens every day. You walk into a shop and suddenly out of nothing, computers come. Every day this happens all over the world. There is no design in a phone. No, not at all. That little handy dandy device you carry around in your pocket and on your waist, and the one that has the GPS in it and Siri in it and the apps in it, and that thing just happened. It is not amazing that those things demand design, and the mind that made those things is the accident. The human being behind those things, now he is just matter in motion. He sprung up out of a primordial soup of nothingness. But boy, apparently when he got here, he sure got smart and made some pretty good devices. The phones are designed, but not the brain. The watches and the computers are designed, but not the ears, not the eyes, not speech. It's interesting that he said, why did you make it so hard? God spoke. It's not that we didn't get the message. It's not that we didn't hear him. It's that we don't agree with him. We would rather be animals than submit to God. At least some people would. God spoke through his word. Timothy and Paul writing says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God breathed. That's what it means. Given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The Bible is consistent in its claim. It's God's speaking. John 8:31-32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus praying to the Father, first for himself, then for the apostles, and then for all those who would believe on him through their name. John 17:17, in the midst of that prayer, he said this, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 16, with regards to why he believed and what he believed, he said this, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God both honor and glory when there came such a voice from the excellent glory. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. In Matthew's account of those events, Matthew says, hear ye him. Peter goes on and says, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed unto the light that shineth in a dark place, until the day star arise in your hearts. Peter concludes that section by saying this, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or born alone by the Holy Ghost. And so the apostles and prophets would go out and they would say, thus saith the Lord. Or they would begin with, hear the word of the Lord. Or Moses would say, and God has commanded. God is literally speaking through his word. It's not, again, that we don't have it or he's made it difficult. We simply don't agree with it. And so we say scripture is myth. It's folklore. It's legend. It's a bunch of old stories that men made up and told and moved forward and along. And we kind of have it handed down to us by tradition. They're just good stories. Has God made it so difficult that men can't hear, that can't find him? That's what he said. I will look him right in the face and I'll ask him, why did you make it so difficult? You hear the Hebrew writer saying, God, who in sundry times and in diverse manner spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken by his Son. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. God spoke a variety of ways leading up to the coming of the Christ. And with Christ coming to the earth, quite literally what we have is God in a body speaking. John 5:17-18, Jesus said, I and my Father. No, Jesus said, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, the Bible says, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but Jesus said God was his Father, making himself equal with God. In John 10:30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Again, the Jews' reaction to that is they should take Jesus, they wanted to, and kill him. When Jesus asked them, I've done many good works, he says, which I showed you from my Father. For which of these do you stone me? They answered, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man, makest thyself God. The scripture dedicates an entire book to telling us that Jesus is God with us. John 20:30-31. John records, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hebrews chapter 1, where we began, the Hebrew writer says this, God, who in sundry times and in diverse manner spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. God has spoken a lot of different ways over time. That's what the Hebrew writer is saying. But after all of those kinds and efforts of speaking to man, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. It's verse 3. That is of particular import for this point, because the Hebrew writer says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. This is the divine nature in a body. In the person of Jesus, God stopped speaking from heaven and God came to earth to speak to humanity. It's not that we don't have the message. It's not that we didn't get it. We just rejected it. We say things like, well, Jesus was a good man, but in the end, he was just a man. No more, no less. I will ask him, why did you make it so hard? He said. Friends, I assure you this. We've only touched the hem of the garment of the variety of ways and the effort God has put into speaking to mankind. Some of those ways would include creation. But then there are judgments. Those judgments are designed to tell us something. Those judgments are designed, at least in part, to grab our attention. What does the flood tell us? What about the Exodus or the captivities? And then there were the prophets, the priests, the apostles. To Elijah, he spoke in a still small voice. to Moses a burning bush. Angels came on missions from heaven, from God to man, to bring messages from God. Hebrews chapter 1, for those who would be the heirs of salvation. Blessings from God in nature, God provides. God even used animals. A fish swallowed Jonah. Jonah got the message. A donkey spoke. Balaam heard and got the message. Locusts and a host of other things. And then there's scripture. And then there's prophecy. And then there's Jesus. At first, his answer is, well, it's rather upsetting when you hear it at first, and it sounds brash and it sounds belligerent and it sounds, and then you're rather sad for the individual. It's not like God has made it hard. No, that's not it at all. The problem is many people have rejected God at every turn. But that God has tried over and over and over and over and over again in a wide variety of ways to speak to humanity. And sadly, so many simply refuse to listen. Truth of the matter is, friends, we should give our time, our energy, and effort to hearing the voice of God. Twice in the Bible, at least to my mind, it occurs twice. It may occur more than twice, but I know two times at least these exact words are found in Scripture. God is so sure that the communication has been sufficient. Psalm 14:1, and I believe the other reference is 53:1. The Bible says, the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. The Apostle Paul alleges that humanity is without excuse because God has been so clear in his communicating. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Literally, the idea is they suppress the truth. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. No person is supposed to walk outside, feel the warmth of the sun, see the moon and the stars, and come to the conclusion, well, that's just one big grand accident. Paul says, it's clearly understood. So clear. It's being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. It's so clear that they are without excuse. But this kind of disposition will lead to, the Hebrew writer addresses in Hebrews chapter 2, when he says in verse number 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto them that heard him? It is among the greatest blessings from God that we have. And it is amazing when you think about it, how much energy and effort God has expanded and used and given to tell humanity, I am here and you are accountable to me. Sadness is ours if we refuse to hear the message and heed the voice of God. Are you a Christian tonight? Friends, if not, you need to become one. I don't know what you have deemed to be important in 2018. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what presently you deem important in your life. I don't know what you're thinking about, what your plans are, what your goals are, what you're looking to accomplish, and how you've already laid out the first quarter. I personally don't know any of that. I do know this. There is a God in heaven, and you are on the earth. Your time and my time will come to an end here at some point. The God who made this world and made us, our eternal souls, will enter eternity and be accountable to that God. If you deem something else more important than that, and friends, you have missed the boat on your existence, and you run the risk of losing your eternal soul. Said we're going to talk about the world. Boy, I didn't intend it, but this sermon sure fits. This is not it, friends. It is the next one. And in light of that next one, you listen to the Hebrew writer. God has spoken in a wide variety of ways to tell you and I to prepare for eternity. Friends, make your calling and election sure. Through the obedience of the gospel of Jesus Christ and live faithfully to him so you can go home and live with God eternally. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8:24. Repent of sin, Luke 13:3. Confess his name, be immersed in water, and let Jesus save you from your sin. God would not have anybody lost, so much so that Jesus' blood was shed to prevent it. If you are his child, examine yourself, be faithful, and let's go home one day and be with God. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand, as we sing.